Welcome to the Network Marketing Heroes Podcast, hosted by 38-year network marketing veteran, author of best-selling books, The 4-Year Career, and Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire, and world-renowned speaker, Richard Bliss Brook. Learn from extraordinary leaders and get a behind-the-scenes look at what it truly takes to become a network marketing hero. On this week's episode...
I just kept thinking, like, how will I ever finish this with a kid? And I just kept focusing on the end result. You can do this. You know, you're worthy to do this. You can finish this. And I think that's when I started to realize, you know, once I finished it, I thought, I did it. How did I do it? What did I think? And I thought, I just never doubted that I could do it, no matter how hard it was every day.
Stay tuned after this episode for an exclusive discount code to get 10% off Richard's tools at blissbusiness.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to another Bliss Business Hero Call. I've been listening for the last 4 or 5 minutes. Got a fantastic group of people from all over the world tapping in to listen to tonight's story, and I promise a fascinating one. I promise a fascinating story that perhaps will challenge your belief systems, but maybe more importantly than that, is going to give you some extraordinary content. And so if you're a note taker, tonight would be a fantastic call to take some notes and implement some things into your business. So just like a little preface here, my intention in doing these calls is to find people out there in the network marketing community that have built a 4-year career, which in essence is personally enrolling enough people in a short enough period of time, somewhere between, I think our range so far has been 50 to 250 people in the first couple of years of your business. What that creates is momentum and duplication and geometric progressions. And then what you do the last couple of years of your career is you fan the fire with your coaching and your leadership. And of course, part of that is you stay engaged and personally enrolling to set the pace for your team, and you just watch those geometric progressions roll. So if you're a student of the 4-year career, you know the model that we show people is 4 who get 4. So if you get 4 and they each get 4, you got 16 people on your second level, and if they each get 4, you got 64, and then you got 256, and then you got 1,024, and you got 4,096, and if they're each doing $100 or $200 or $300 or $400 a month in personal consumption and personal sales to customers, well, you've got a business. And then how do we know that that's an asset? How do we know that that's wealth building? Because of geometric progressions and because of extraordinary products that people declare, this is my brand. If it's skincare, people declare, this is my brand. These are the products I'm going to use forevermore. If it's essential oils, they make that declaration. If it's nutrition, they make that declaration. If it's weight loss, they make that declaration. If it's coffee, they make that declaration. And when you've got thousands of people in 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 generations that have made that branding declaration, and then on top of that, you've got leaders that are following your lead, so they've seen what you've done to create that momentum, to create those geometric progressions, to create the numbers and create their own momentum, they follow suit. And when you've got an organization full of leaders that follow your lead, that's what creates the asset, because barring anything catastrophic that would be out of your control, you can't stop it. You can't stop your organization from growing. You can't stop people from using your products. And so whatever income you have, the definition of residual income is that your income stays flat, doesn't even grow. And if your income stays flat, it's residual. And if you've got a $5,000 or a $10,000 a month residual income, that's worth between $1 million and $2 million as an asset. These are all fundamental principles of the four-year career. And of course, when I say that you've got $1 million to $2 million asset, I have to always say that doesn't mean that you can sell it for $1 million to $2 million. You might say, well, why not if it's worth that? Well, because why would somebody give you $1 million to $2 million for something they could go build themselves on a part-time basis with maybe a $1,000 investment over the next 3 or 4 years? That wouldn't make any sense. But in terms of the asset value, in terms of the, compare it to real estate or other equities, there just isn't a faster, more efficient way for somebody who isn't throwing money at an opportunity to become a millionaire or a multimillionaire. Network marketing is the only way to do it because it's the only opportunity that allows anyone on a part-time basis without leaving their job or their career to invest a very small amount of money but a great amount of effort to get 1,000 or 2,000 people working for them. And if you look at any business that's got, you know, even a few hundred people working for it, a few hundred employees, you're talking about a business that's worth millions to whoever owned it. So I also want to say prior to all of these interviews that I'm interviewing exceptional people, and I'm not making the claim that everybody that listens to these calls is going to accomplish what these heroes have accomplished. We call them heroes for the reason that they had the courage to do what most people don't have the courage to do. They had the vision, they had the self-motivation, they had the courage to just declare, draw a line in the sand, and stop trying, stop thinking about it, stop working on it, stop getting around to it, and just go absolutely make it happen. And we've got an extraordinary story here tonight with a young lady who, she's a mom, she's got four kids. You're going to hear about how she built her empire while she was having children, and how she built her empire like from afar. It's a crazy story, but here's her stats. 3.5 years into building her Rodan and Fields skincare business, she has personally sponsored in the last 3.5 years over 120 people. She's got over 700 people actively building her business and over 16,000 customers. And she's got a multi-million dollar business just in 3.5 years. And when you hear how she did it, and especially what a slow, challenging start she had, I think you're going to be incredibly inspired. So tonight, we're interviewing hero Lisa Cutler. Lisa, are you here?
I am. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lisa. So let's dive into it. You have an amazing story about how you started your Rodan and Fields business, living in Canada when Rodan and Fields wasn't even open yet in Canada. And you got, you know, moving to the United States, you've got having children, you've got a nursing career. So just start at the beginning and tell us, where were you when you first heard about network marketing? And who introduced you? Who being, how did you know that person?
Okay, so who was a very distant acquaintance. I just barely moved to the United States. She was a fellow soccer mom. We didn't really know each other at all. I don't think at that moment even knew that it was network marketing.
Great. What did she say to you?
So I was looking for skincare. I was looking for what she was using. She wouldn't tell me, and I started to get the feeling that there was more to it when she would invite me to someone else's house to tell me about it. She wouldn't straight up just tell me, here it is, I bought it here, or go to this website. She wouldn't tell me. She wouldn't give up what she was using until I committed to a meeting. So I blew her off at least 3 or 4 times until, you know, I really needed to get my hands on something.
Okay. So you went to the meeting, and what did you hear at the meeting?
I heard at the meeting that someone was going to pay me to use something that I was already obsessive about. I heard a credible name already in business, a proven brand that people knew, and I heard a 60-day money-back guarantee, and I heard that it wasn't yet available in my home country. And that was pretty much the gist of it at that meeting.
So you were living in Canada?
No, so I had just moved to the United States when I heard about it.
You just moved to the United States when you heard about it. Okay, and where were you living?
In Texas.
In Texas, and what were you doing for a living?
So I was working full-time as a nurse, and I had 3 kids at that time.
Wow. Okay, and had you ever heard of network marketing before that?
You know, no, I really didn't know anyone that was doing it or hear anything about it, no.
Okay. And so tell us about your start.
So I'm excited because, you know, I'm a permanent resident in the United States and I have a social security and I can sign up and get some stuff and, you know, start talking to people. But I quickly realized that who I know and who my relationships with are, you know, those people are unable to use the product or join me in business. So it was difficult because I only had a few friends.
That was because all of your friends were in Canada.
Right.
Got it. And Rodan and Fields was not open yet in Canada.
Correct.
Okay. So how did you deal with that? So you were living in Texas, all your friends in Canada. You just moved to Texas. One of the questions I asked you in your survey is how many people did you sponsor in your first year, and what's the answer to that?
In my first year of business, I only sponsored 7 people. That's it.
So statistically, Lisa, like if, you know, if you take, 100 network marketing distributors that in their first year personally sponsored 7 people, 99.9% of them would have quit because they wouldn't have gotten enough action, enough people sticking, enough leaders, enough business from those 7 people to stay in business. What did you get from the first people you sponsored, and what kept you going into the second year?
Well, when I initially signed up, you know, I was pregnant with my 4th baby, and this was in April of 2013, and it was supposed to open into Canada in January of 2014. So that was only going to be, you know, 8 or 9 months later. But it took like 2 years to open from the time I enrolled. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that it wasn't difficult, and, you know, but I had the vision from the first day of, you know, the long-term vision. And I mean, it wasn't, I was set on opening Canada and I knew what it was going to do for me.
Yeah. And that's one of the secrets to success in network marketing, isn't it? You got to have that long range vision because, you know, if you figure out what you get paid by the hour in the first year or two,
oh gosh, yeah.
It might be slave labor. It might be illegal. What you get paid the first couple of years. So Canada opens, and what happened?
So essentially in my second year of business, I was working 2 jobs. So I was trying to build a network in the United States, and I was working a full-time job to let my market know and every single person that I knew what I was doing and what I was coming home to do and what I was coming. So I had prepped the battlefield for a long time, and so I had a very fast start after that because I had done all that work without getting paid in that, you know, first couple of years.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So your second year in business, you spent most of that time prospecting people in Canada, but they couldn't start yet.
Right.
Wow. So they had to wait, most of them, up to a year.
Yeah.
And so how did you keep them interested? You know, to be it's one thing to be able to invite people to take a look and show them your vision and show them what's possible for them and they can get started today. But if you have to add to that presentation, this is awesome, and you might be able to start a year from now. Usually that would have people take a pass. They would forget about you. They would lose interest. They'd end up doing something else with somebody that's open in Canada. How did you keep that fire burning?
You know, I'm not going to lie. It was definitely trying. It was difficult, but we had some exciting things happening and, you know, hopeful dates prior to, you know, the length of time. So we had some technological, like technology things that held back the date. But I did several things. I went home a lot. And I was able to bring some of my product across and gift it and things like that. And so, you know, and I would do training calls even before. So I started building leaders in Canada before they even joined the business. They were committed. And we had what was called a pre-enrollment phase. So, you know, someone fills up a form and they pre-enroll, which basically is no commitment to sign up under you, and you know they're committed to, if they decide to ever enroll when it launches, they have to sign up under you, and if they don't, in 6 months they could sign up under someone else. So I really took advantage of the fact that there was no monetary investment. You know, I could train them and give them information, and it was very low commitment, and then they got a gift in return from me. And then I added them to some Facebook group, and I trained them, and I did training calls and coaching calls, and I just did my best to keep people motivated and excited for what was coming and what I knew would change their life.
And so what happened the third year when Canada opened?
So Canada opened just before I would have been working for almost 2 full years. You know, I immediately enrolled a ton of people my first month. It was like, I think 20 people, and 14 people bought like big business kits. It was an immediate boost in volume, and then those people had people enrolled under them. And our immediate conversion rate was about 50 to 60% on, you know, go time. So I did lose half of the people that, you know, during that wait. But as of now, they've kind of, most of those people have come around, and I would say we're close to 75 or 80% of people have joined me after that, you know, waiting and things like that. But, yeah, I enrolled a lot of people in that first year.
Yeah, so that third year, first year in Canada, is something like 80 people, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That had to create some momentum. What kind of momentum did that create, like, how did the organization grow when you put 80 people in the business in 1 year?
Well, immediately, like the first month that we were open for business, that put me at pretty much a six-figure income. And then we built slowly, but that was a life-changing month. You know, and then a couple people like hit, you know, won a really higher rank in the company as well shortly after that, and they started building their teams, and it wasn't quite like pushing the snowball to the very top of the hill, but, you know, I felt like all of that work over the last couple of years was finally paying off.
Right. So you're 3.5 years into it now, so and you've lived in Alabama and you just moved to New Jersey, correct?
Yep. Yep.
So what are you doing in the United States? Do you still have a really slow enrollment pace in the United States, or have you changed that?
No. I would say, you know, now most of the people that I enroll, maybe it's 50-50. I've learned how to build connections more quickly here, and I'm lucky to be in the military, and so, you know, that's a pretty tight-knit community, and everywhere I go, so every new state that I go to, I have that immediate family, and then it's about me building those relationships quickly. So, you know, I've learned how to do it better than I did, you know, the first couple years. You know, my stats aren't very good, but I'm much better now.
Tell us about your investigator technique.
So, you know, when I meet someone, I always try to remember, you know, that it's about them. I like to know everything about them, ask them questions. People tend to love to talk about themselves. And if you don't ask them questions and you present your opportunity or ask them to take a look at it, you really have no idea if it's a fit or what part of your business would be intriguing or what problem you could solve. You know what I mean? So I like to know a lot before I present anything.
Yeah, awesome. That's a beautiful fit for the Bliss philosophy. So the other thing that I found fascinating for somebody that had only been in the business 3.5 years and had never done network marketing before is your success tips. Those are really awesome, and they're not that they're unique, but the way you have them laid together, is I've never seen it like that before. Do you want to talk about those?
Yeah, let me just trying to recall. Like, you mean from the article?
Yeah, I'll give you the first one is make a decision. Tell us about that.
Okay, so I find so many people in network marketing or life in general sit on the fence of indecision with everything. And they sit there and they, you know, you have those fence sitters in your business and they want to do it, but they're scared and they just sit there. So, and even people who have joined the business and had a reason to join, and then it's like they forget. So I made the decision, a conscious decision, that I would 100% make this a business and I would be successful no matter what.
Right. Okay. Beautiful. The second one is confidence. Tell us about that.
Confidence. So, I mean, in those first couple years that I was building, and, you know, and you're like, okay, so how many people did you enroll? 7. Okay, and the next year, 7. I mean, most people would be pretty deflated after that. But it was, you know, a kind of fake it till you make it type of thing. And I was confident in, you know, the business that I chose, and I was confident in the company that I chose, and I was confident in myself. And I think that what you tell yourself, what you believe about yourself, becomes your thoughts, becomes your actions. And if you are not bringing people into your business, there's some underlying truth that you're telling yourself that other people is coming across unconsciously to them. So it was a matter of 100% believing in myself and having that confidence that I could help other people change their life. That will draw people into you.
Yeah. Okay. And that dovetails into number 3, which is grow your belief. How did you grow your belief?
I grew my belief by using all the products, being obsessed with them, learning about them. I became a student of the profession. I read a lot. I learned a lot. I watched a lot of videos. I've probably watched all the, you like a lot of the people that you've interviewed, I've heard speak at different events. I've watched their YouTube channels or their, you know, webinars. I'm subscribed to a ton of them, a ton of their emails. So I just became a student of the profession and felt like there were certain skills that I could master if I put in the time.
So,
And as I got better, that increased my belief that I could do this and teach other people to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's such a simple but profound tip. If you immerse yourself in the conversation and the stories of people that believe, if you just listen to believers over and over and over again and you listen to their stories, so it's not just them talking about how much they believe, but why they believe, you can't help but evolve and through osmosis just gain that same belief. Who are some of your most profound people that had an influence on you that you listened to or watched?
So you, your wife.
Kimmy, awesome.
Yeah, I saw her and met her briefly in Vegas at the Most Powerful Women event. A lot of the people that talk there, so Eric Worre, Sarah Robbins, huge for me. Actually, at the beginning, I did watch a lot of Amber Voigt videos. And
good.
What I did was the people who you interviewed are the people who are other top leaders in their companies. And I just started to do what they do and listen to how they did it. So Adam Green is from, you know, the same province as me, live just a few hours away from me. You know, tons of people's videos and webinars. Les
yeah.
Brown, Tony Robbins, Richard Branson, all of you guys.
Good. That's a good list. All right. Number four is imagination. Tell us about your imagination and your visualization.
So it's funny, like when I'm coaching people on this aspect, sometimes they think, you know, you're crazy. You're so crazy. Like, but I really believe that to find success, you almost have to just see it and taste it and feel it and know exactly what it would feel like before it even happens. It's, you know, The Secret was a profound video that I watched and a book. And, you know, I really believe that, you know, in your vision board and, you know, being grateful and speaking, you know, confidence and motivation and inspiration and profit into your business and into yourself will enable you to create it. And I just really visualized what it would be like to be a Lexus driver or any other title or trip that I earned. What would it be like to go there? And I would, and I felt it before I earned it.
Beautiful. And do you have any particular techniques for that? Do you have a vision board? Do you have a written vision? Do you meditate on it every day? Do you have any kind of a PowerPoint or a movie or any tools that help you do that?
I do. So I've watched The Secret, and I'm sure you have as well, but I have a vision board. I also have a vision board on my cell phone that, you know, I open. Gosh, I mean, it would be ridiculous to count how many times if someone ever tracked that, how many times you open it and see it unconsciously there. I wake up and I remember what I'm grateful for every single day. So, you know, grateful for the things that I already have. And I speak about the things that I will have and, you know, that I'm worthy of them and that, you know, so I start with gratefulness and then I talk about what I'm going to accomplish, what my goals are. And I, you know, so kind of like gratitudes and morning and night. And I do personal development every single day. So that's sort of kind of a nutshell what I do every day, but I already, like, I speak what I'm going to do, daily.
Yep. That's beautiful. Really. Well, you're such a fantastic student, Lisa. What do you credit with your learning ethic? And this, you may not see it as unique, mm-hmm. but it's really unique in our profession that you would have these mentors in your presence. And mm-hmm. so many people hear what it takes to be successful and they discount it. They sort of just pass it off as maybe it doesn't apply to me or maybe it doesn't really work or maybe it's not worth it. So what mm-hmm. do you credit with your early adoption of modeling people and paying attention to them?
Oh my goodness. That is such a tough question. I feel like when I learned to believe in myself was, so I went to nursing school as a single mom and it was like a struggle just literally to get to class or, you know, I wasn't paying for daycare that first year. my ex's mom would watch her, and, you know, I would miss some class because of her schedule. And I just kept thinking, like, how will I ever finish this with a kid? And I just kept focusing on the end result. You can do this. You know, you're worthy to do this. You can finish this. And I think that's when I started to realize, you know, once I finished it, I thought, I did it. How did I do it? What did I think? And I thought, I just never doubted that I could do it, no matter how hard it was every day, and despite thinking, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. So that transition for like 4 or 5 years to finish school, that's what this felt like. It felt like, this is hard, but I see the end. I can see the end. And then, you know, I just wanted to know. I had a very, like, eye-opening training call one time when I was listening to, like, actually my mentor in the business speak. And it was a very, like, pivotal moment in my career when I actually understood the power of this business model. And then once I heard that and understood that, then I became super hungry for information about, how did she do that, you know? Who else has done this? How many people, like, is she an anomaly? How many more people are doing this? And then I found out, you know, and I just became super hungry for information.
Who was your mentor that did that call?
Her name is Elizabeth Guess. And she did some early training calls, you know, when I was first starting in 2013, the fall of 2013. And it was that fall that a training call that she did really motivated me. And then actually her husband has been, you know, pretty much my one-on-one mentor for the last 2 years.
Wow. Like, and, okay. Beautiful. You're what I would call a natural visionary. Like, you just naturally gravitate towards spinning a positive story and believing in yourself and learning the lessons that life offers you, where you're a really, really remarkable student. So
you
had, at least on paper, it looks like you've had a beautiful 3.5 years. What's the number one thing you struggled with?
I think that you're myself, like your ego. I think that I learned that this is not all about me, that this is not just my business. I cannot do everything. Not everyone will like me. You know, I will not be every person's leadership style. You know, I may be chocolate peanut butter crunch, and Richard, you maybe have like a peanut allergy. So it's, you know, I'm not everybody's flavor, and I can't help everyone. And so I think that was a hard lesson, because it was like, you know, you kind of like, this is my baby, like, look what I've done, and you want to help everyone. And, you know, I isolated some people early on that, you know, and you think that you can do it best, or does that make sense? You know, your ego.
Yeah, but I think it would help people if you gave them a specific story. So what happened that you learned that lesson?
So specifically, there was a goal that I was running for, and I realized that until I learned this lesson, that I was really not worthy of that title or that gift in this business. And I was at a standstill. So I hit it, then I lost it. And this is when I earned my Lexus. So I'll give you an example. That is not something that you can do on your own. And when I earned my Lexus, some other people earned their Lexus as well. And we kind of did it at the same time. And I think your ego is like, well, you know, you think that you're the one doing it. And I thought you know, my team had done this and mine. And I missed it. And it wasn't until I realized that I learned that lesson and got over myself that I was worthy to hit that promotion and earn that vehicle and have that promotion and title. And I really believe that because it was a long process of me hitting and missing and hitting and missing. And why,
It sounds like the transformation from a highly motivated leader to a highly motivated servant leader.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
It wasn't until I helped enough people and made it not about me and respected the profession and how that works and then transformed into, that's going to happen to me one day. I'm going to have a strong leader and realize that's what you want. And you want more of you. And so it wasn't until, you know, my sister has become a very strong leg in my profession, like in my business, that, you know, you see the evolution of that. How you treat your upline and how other people will eventually see you and you learn these lessons. And, this is just personal development every day with a paycheck.
Right. That's great. I love that phrase. This is personal development every day with a paycheck. That's great. I've never heard that before. It's not very often I hear something I've never heard before. That's awesome, Lisa. I love that. So, yeah, one of the beautiful things about this profession is that if we recognize it, we recognize that we have the opportunity to, quote, unquote, employ people that are much more powerful than we are, mm-hmm. much more talented, more ambitious, better
yep.
leaders, better speakers, better promoters, and certainly one of the secrets is we got to make room for those people. You got to step aside sometimes and let them show up and be the wind beneath their wings. And that's taking brilliant advantage of just one of the greatest gifts this business model provides is you just get to have people on your team that are better than you. And that's how you get true freedom.
Mm-hmm.
By having people on your team that don't need you.
Yep. Exactly. But isn't that a hard
lesson
to learn? I mean, that takes some growing to get there and accept it and be excited about it and be happy about it and know your place and your own gift.
It does, because most people's motivation for joining the business and their early work pace, the motivation for it, is what do I get? What mm-hmm. recognition do I get? What income do I get? What stage time do I get?
Mm-hmm.
It is an I-based, ego-based motivation. And you really, that's why personal development is so important, is the
mm-hmm.
I-based motivation is fine in the beginning. I mean, it will get you to a certain level. But the greatness of taking advantage of this business model is when you inspire people to go to a higher level than you've gone.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be dragging people behind you where you're always in the lead. You want to inspire people to take the lead. And that requires that you let go of that I-based approach and focus on other people, and it really takes a lot of self-esteem, takes a lot mm-hmm. of being secure with yourself, knowing authentically who you are, and what's important to you, and feeling whole as a human being. So as long as you're not feeling whole as a human being, you need recognition, and you need material things, and you need money to feel whole. And as
yep.
you fill up those holes with something other than things, you get to a place where you can allow other people to shine. And that's a huge transformation point in people's business. That's when people go from earning $5,000 or $10,000 a month to $50,000 to $100,000 a month. Most people
yep.
don't ever have the courage to let go of feeding their ego. They see it as depth. They see it as being insignificant. They see it as, if I do that, I won't matter anymore. So for
right.
you to have learned that lesson and trust in the process, that's a magical moment for you. So I want to transition and talk about you powerfully enrolled a lot of peaceful people, Lisa. When it comes time for you to cast the vision for people after you've learned who they are and, you know, built that rapport, however long that takes, when it comes time for you to tell them what the opportunity is about, generically, what are the things that you focus on? What do you tell people is in store for them if they'll take a look?
I mean, it's so different because we each want different things in this business, or, you know, you need to figure out what their destination is and paint that destination. So my destination is not going to be the same as someone who doesn't want to stay home with their kids. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So when I'm painting the vision, it's figuring out what problem they have and highlighting the results and the benefits and selling the vacation, not the airplane, around personally what they need and what this can do for them or how I can help them do that. And it's different for each person. So people come into this profession or join a network marketing company for, you know, a variety of reasons. And, you know, a lot of it's financial, but some of it is, you know, just products or relationships or so, I mean, it just varies with each person. But I focus on the results and I focus on evoking a strong emotion in them that, you know, will paint the picture of, you know, that emotion is going to make them understand what we have, if that makes
sense.
And
what do you do when people lose that? When people get started and then they fade away and, you know, they don't return your phone calls.
You have to recreate the vision. You have to paint.
How do you do that?
So it's getting back to their why. You know, do they still want to do X, Y, and Z that they were not happy doing before? Are they still passionate about what they told me they wanted to change? And getting down to, okay, well, what is preventing you? Really, it's about like coaching and finding their roadblocks and then being able to give them tasks or things that will move them past that.
Okay, and what do you do with
the person? Challenge them enough and also inspire them enough.
Okay, that's beautiful. So what do you do with people that are motivated and inspired and they go out and they talk to people and they come back to you and say, no one wants to do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody says that. right? It's usually, well, how many people did you talk to? You know, because people are, well, you've enrolled 100 and some people into your business. You know, well, I didn't only talk to 120 people. I probably talked to 3,500 people. So you have to give them a realistic statistic. And I'm very real on, okay, you know, your family and friends will probably not be your biggest supporters. If they are, then in my experience, that's amazing. But usually it's your more distant friends and acquaintances and new friends that, you know, you're able to, I don't know if you found that as well.
I did. But I only personally sponsored one friend and he quit a week later.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah.
The challenge with friends and family is they see you the way you were before you were inspired to be a successful entrepreneur. And if for those of us that join network marketing, before we were seen as a business or financial or leadership success, then people are going to see us the way they have always seen us, regardless of what we're excited about. And
exactly.
So people that don't know us so well, they don't have all those preconceived notions, and it gives us an opportunity to show up differently for people that don't hold
yeah.
us that way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So
if, you know, giving them realistic statistics and letting them know, you know, this is how many people I enrolled, this is how many people quit, this is how many people do something. And even though theirs might be on a smaller scale right now, letting them know that I'm exactly like them. And those are my statistics too. So giving them realistic examples and, you know, just working through these things. It's mostly getting down to their, I found like finding out their roadblocks has been like the biggest thing for me.
Right. So you're just getting started 3.5 years, really only, I would quantify it more like 2 years, and
mm-hmm.
you've already got a thriving organization, multi-million dollar a year organization. What's the future for you? Like, where do you see yourself 4 or 5 years from now?
I really being, you know, completely debt-free, building a very solid foundation, you know, first, second, third generation, building as many leaders as I can, like continuing to do what got me here. I really came into this for freedom, and that's really why I loved your book so much, because early on you explained the 40-40-40 plan, and you know, that's not a great plan when you see it in writing and someone spells it out for you. So I really wanted freedom, and you know, that first meeting, I mean, I didn't second guess this, and I really felt like this would give me freedom.
Mm-hmm. And so go beyond that. So do you see yourself at a place 3 or 4 years from now where you would be retiring and focusing on your family, or once you get debt-free and have a much, much deeper, stronger organization, do you see something more for you?
You know, I don't know what's, I know that, you know, I've spent, you know, the hours that I've put in the last 18 to 24 months are not really sustainable.
Right.
They aren't. And, you know, some new things have come into my life. My son was recently diagnosed with autism, and that there's a lot of eye-opening things that have happened for me in terms of how I found this company and the timing of building it and the timing of this and being home and having more freedom. So I still want to continue to sponsor and help as many people as I can and develop as many leaders as I can. But I definitely feel like when you build a business like this, you know, there was sacrifice. And so I need to be a little bit more balanced this year. In terms of my hours and my family. And so I'm going to make, you know, an effort to do that. And, you know, I'm always writing down things. So, you know, how I coach people and things like that, and maybe create like some type of training manual for my team this year. So those are some things that I want to do this year. Long term,
yeah,
it's so hard
awesome.
To see, you know, 3 or 4 years from now. But I want to be doing this with my husband full time. He'll retire from the military in 4 years.
Well, you know, one of the things that many people, most people, I think, Lisa, get trapped in our business is the enough is never enough syndrome. And
oh, dear.
So, you know, I think if your sponsor would have told you when they first, at the very first meeting, they would have told you, look, 4 years from now, you can be making $250,000 a year, but that's all you can ever earn. Would that be enough? I imagine you would have said, That would be awesome. I'll take the $250,000 a year.
I think so. I mean, yeah. You know, as a nurse, I mean, there's no way that I could have earned or done this. You know what I mean?
No. No, you could never earn that kind of money. And more importantly, even if you could earn that kind of money, you could never earn it absentee. It would be totally linear. You'd be working 80 hours a week, 7 days a week, and you could never be with your family. You could never take a vacation. You could never take a course correction. So you've built something that, you know, is just so immensely valuable for people to see what's on the other side of the daily grind to make a living. And what is so sad about our society, and I'm not speaking about people who don't have a lot of ambition and you know, if people, I'm not a proponent that people ought to have ambition. If people are perfectly happy with where they're at in life and work is not a grind for them, they love their work. Happiness is not about how much money you make. You know, happiness is just whatever makes you happy. But the people that don't love their work and they can't earn enough money to take care of their family and they're in that 40-40-40 grind, they spend their entire lives just grinding out a paycheck and they don't ever get to tap into their genius. They don't ever get to tap in to letting their spirit fly and really see, like, what could you and I do as human beings if we didn't have all our attention on making money? Like, money was handled. Money's handled. We don't have to ever think about money again. And do we have, you know, the money to do everything that we might ever dream of doing? No, but we don't ever have to grind it out again. We don't ever have to worry about paying the bills or keeping the home or sending our kids to college. When people get to that place, it just unleashes immense genius and creativity and contribution and peace and power. And that's what people have to look forward to if they have the ambition and the courage to build what you've built. You know, I applaud that, you know what, you're not sure what the future brings for you. And one thing you know is, you've invested an immense amount of time and energy to build this, and it sounds like you're going to enjoy it with your family in the future, and that's a beautiful thing.
It is.
So I'll
obviously still work. I do love what I do.
Of course.
I've transitioned to the coaching this year, and, yeah, I do. I love it.
How do you retire from network marketing?
I know. You know.
People say, why don't you retire? And do what? Like, you know, quit talking to people?
I know. And yeah, there is that overwhelming sense of gratitude when you really think back on how did I stumble upon this amazing business model and opportunity. And I think that's where that gratitude inspires, like, greatness and genius, like you talked about. And I mean, with that sense of freedom, it just you feel like you can do more and be more, and that's where, you know, they become an author like you and just want to help more people. So it'll be exciting to see what I do here.
Yeah, I look forward to interviewing you in 3 or 4 years and see where you have taken life.
Yeah,
so,
I would love
it. Lisa, phenomenal insights and wisdom and a phenomenal story. I'm very inspired by what you've created and how you've created it. And I'm going to give you a chance to turn the tables as we close the call out by you asking me the final question. And since you have no notice of this, you have to trust your intuition and just ask whatever comes to mind.
Let's see here.
Don't overthink it.
No. So tell me what your day looks like now. What do you do in a day?
Wow, what a great question. Nobody asked me that. Well, I live on the island of Lanai, in Hawaii with my wife, Kimmy. And our daily routine shifts depending on the season and our passions and our interests.
Celebrities are visiting you.
Yeah. Certainly when we have guests, it disrupts our routine some. But I'll give you my routine. I won't give you hers. But so we get up somewhere between 5 and 6 in the morning, and we have two beautiful chairs out on our veranda, and we sit out there, and we work through the sunrise. The sunrise is off the ocean. We have about a 200-degree ocean view.
Wow.
And we're about 200 yards off the water with no one in front of us.
That's
no one
amazing.
In front of us anywhere. All we see is ocean. And the sun rises right off the ocean. So we watch the sunrise until, you know, we might work from like 5:30 to 7:30. And then we jump in our golf cart, and it has our stand-up paddle boards on the roof. And we go down to the beach, which is a couple of minutes away by golf cart. And we go for a one-hour stand-up paddle out in the ocean, which covers about 2.5 miles. And we don't always see them, but we look for whales and spinning dolphins. And then we come back into the beach, and we chat for a bit, and we do a little. I do a little workout on the stand-up paddleboard, and then we come back here to the house and we start our calls. And so our morning is scheduled. I don't personally accept any calls. Like when people call me, I don't talk to them unless it's like personal friends or family. Everyone that I talk to is an appointment, so I just look at my calendar and I'm going to have back-to-back appointments most mornings from about 9 a.m. Hawaii time until, well, maybe noon or 1. And some of those are Zoom group management meetings, and some of them are group coaching calls, and some of them are one-on-one coaching calls, interviews, that sort of thing. When it's time for lunch, somewhere between 12:30 and 1, we very often go do something. Like we might go up to town. Ours is a unique island. There's only 3,000 people that live here. There's only one little town. It's a little quaint town. It's about 20 minutes away. And so we'll go up into town and, you know, go grocery shopping, have lunch, or we'll, you know, go have lunch down at the beach or something. And somewhere in that afternoon, we'll work out again, play golf, something like that. And then about this time, which is 4 o'clock Hawaii time, is 6 o'clock Pacific time, we'll get back into very often conference calls, webinars, those sorts of things until about 6 o'clock Hawaii time, which is 8 o'clock Pacific time. And something about Hawaii has us crawl into bed early. Like we're in bed by 8, 9
wow.
o'clock. Yeah. We don't have kids.
Is that get into bed and watch TV, or you get out, you pass out?
No, we usually get in bed and watch TV for, you know, we're usually out within 15 or 20 minutes, but
probably
so,
has something
and, you know,
to do with that long paddleboard that trip you took.
Yeah, it could. And, you know, that routine is peppered with, like tomorrow, I think it's tomorrow, yes, tomorrow we have a couple, Mark and Devine Januski, who are generic trainers in our profession. They live on Kauai, which is two short plane flights from Lanai. And so they're coming over for a couple of days. We're going to brainstorm. We're going to shoot some videos with each other. They leave on Friday, and Friday afternoon, a couple of our top distributors are coming to town. for a couple of days just to hang out and brainstorm. And
that's awesome.
You know, in about a week, we have 10 women from half a dozen different network marketing companies coming here for a week for our Women's Leadership Transformational Retreat, which we do a couple of times a year. And so, of course, our routine will be kind of disrupted because those are 14-hour days with those ladies. And so we love doing that work, but it's a totally different routine. When they leave, we'll probably just be vegetables for a couple of days.
Seriously.
And then we'll get back in our standard routine.
That's awesome. Wow. I need that life.
It's available to everyone.
That's true.
Certainly available to everyone. Well, Lisa, beautiful interview. Thank you so much for not only sharing your story, but creating it. You're a light for thousands of people. Tens of thousands of people are going to hear your story. You're going to inspire them. You're going to help their belief. They're going to listen, I know, to some of those great tips that you gave. And, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if people like you could track the ripple effect that just sharing your story with other people from hundreds of different companies and perhaps hundreds of countries around the world. You're having an impact, girl.
Well, thank you
so much
impact. For this opportunity. I really appreciate
it. You're so welcome. I look forward to meeting you in person. And I'll let Kimmy know she had an impact. Yeah, Vegas
so
in March.
If you're at the most powerful women event, if Kimmy's there again, then I'll be there.
Yeah, we're both speaking. We'll be there.
Good. Well, I hope to meet you soon. And thank you so much for asking me to be on.
You bet, Lisa. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Richard Bliss Brooks' Network Marketing Heroes podcast. For more invaluable training tools, such as audios, videos, and of course, his best-selling books, The 4-Year Career and Mach 2 With Your Hair on Fire, head to blissbusiness.com. For 10% off your order, use the discount code HERO at checkout. If you're serious about building your business, make sure to subscribe to Richard's blog for all the latest tools and articles.